Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the
Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back and better than ever. This is Sarah. But Tim, where are you? Oh, no. The feds, they heard his last podcast where he said he gives recommendations, full recommendations and referrals to previous employees. So he's not joining me, I guess. Tim?
Hello. Yes.
Oh, you're here.
I have a probation officer standing by, but he's allowed me to get away for 30 minutes to talk to you about our next important topic. I guess I went a little overboard on the old recommendation thing last time, judging by some of the messages we got, and I may have worn out my welcome with a few of HR sources. At any rate, at least everybody knows what I used to do when people would call me for a recommendation.
Yeah, don't ever call Tim for a recommendation anymore from a previous employee. But he was let out of the slammer just to do a podcast on blogging today. So, Tim, we're happy to have you.
Thank you. Ready to blog.
So today, our episode is on blogging. And instead of you tuning us out and thinking, oh, I don't care about that, guess what is so important about blogging? It lets you have a step towards OTA independence. And that's what everyone seems to want to talk about these days, which is online travel agency independence. If you want people to book direct with you, then you need to start with blogging. And the reason is because the way you can have guests find you on the web, not going through third parties like Vrbo and Airbnb, et cetera, is that your website has a lot of good content about your area, about vacation rentals, and about anything they might be looking for in coming on vacation to your place. So the best way to build content on your site is the topic of blogging, because blogging is a place on your site, just in case you don't know this. You just create a blog. I kind of look at it like a constant story that you're adding chapters and chapters to. It's articles that keep getting posted in a scrolling fashion, and they can be tagged and you can organize them by different areas. But that's a wonderful way for Google to say, hey, they keep adding good content. And also you come up more and more in search results, and then guests keep clicking on that more, and Google likes that too. So what do you think? Are you excited about this topic, Tim?
Well, I am a blogger. I have to admit, I've been doing it for quite a while. It is not easy, though, Sarah. And so we actually have 9 points today on this takeaway of independence, starting with the word B-L-O-G. And so, yes, I am actually excited about the whole blogging thing and passing whatever we can along, and hopeful that we do give them some takeaways from this. So I'm ready to go. Yep.
I'd like to give a lot of thanks to Brandon Sauls of Intercoastal Net Designs. ICND. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay. And he just did some presentations, I believe, in North Carolina around this topic and shared a bunch of information with Tim that I have massaged slightly, and we will be going through it for all of you to hear.
Brandon is great. He is a multi-time presenter at the Vacation Rental Managers Conference, and he's presented at the VRHP Conference and VRM Intel, and he is the man when it comes to internet stuff, website, and certainly blogging. So number one on our list of 9 things to take away regarding blogging is, what the heck is a blog? You need to set one up right now. So Sarah pretty much gave you a little primer on that, but we're going to explain the technical Google search details. Not going to go too deep, but the fact is you need content on your website to get Google, the bots that search your site, to get higher on the organic search. You can't just set it and forget it. You have to do this regularly. With all humility, I say I have been blogging for 11 years, and my blog actually ranks very highly simply because of that. I have hundreds of blog articles on our site, and it has made a difference. And so make sure you have a blog set up on your site and that you are committed to be able to edit it and publish it.
Yep, Tim, we started blogging long ago before a lot of people were talking about this, and I feel it's our main reason why we're coming up so high on SEO, organic search results. It's because we have that content. And sometimes I think I've told you when I look at Google Analytics and I look at the real time button there and I see what people are looking at on our website, they are old blogs from, I'm not kidding, like 2009. So people keep searching these terms. And as long as you write content that's usable in the future, this content lives on. It's pretty cool.
Well, and I'm not sure if it's on our list, to be quite frank, but that is so irritating when you go to a site and you see the latest update on a blog is like 2.5 years old. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. really? Come on. Make some effort, folks.
Right. And Google doesn't like that either.
No.
So, okay. So that's number one. Number two is you need to create a calendar and stick to it, including topics on the calendar. So we had a lull of writing blogs when we were growing like crazy the past couple years. And recently, we have gotten more controlled about this, I guess you'd say. Disciplined is the word I'm looking for. And so now we have a calendar. It says which blogs we're going to write on which days and what are the topics. And then every week, it's what were the blogs that released, what's coming next week. You have to have certain people that are writing them. And you're saying you're writing them, Tim, or are your staff writing them?
I actually personally write at least one a week, Sarah. Now,
wow.
Sometimes it's 400 words. Sometimes I don't quite make that. I think that's the new standard now, 400 words. But I have a staff, a marketing staff, as you well know, and they all take assignments of writing at least one a month. And so we have new content at least weekly on the site, sometimes two or three articles a week, and they are typically things that we're trying to get ranked for, to be quite honest, that helps us with that organic search. And as you said, it works for you. It works for us, too. Our organic search results are tremendous.
I'm so impressed you write your own blog entry. I'm going to try to do that. I mean, if I can do a podcast with you, why can't I write my own blog once a week? Good on you. And I guess the final part about number two is that if you don't create a calendar and stick to it, whether it's Tim that you're writing it or your staff are writing it, life gets busy. Have you seen how busy your marketing managers are? Weeks will go by and blogs aren't posted. So it has to be on the calendar and you have to make sure they're writing them.
So number three is what to write about. Now you got it on the calendar, you better figure out some stuff to write. Blogging about like attractions is really easy, but it's not always the best. And I think this comes from Brandon, that rental companies also often get caught up in writing about things to do and attractions in the area. And it's easy content, right? But what's the end game of the content? Are you trying to get that attraction in the top five of attractions? Well, if you are, then why would you be doing that? Because it will rank an attraction, but it may not get you more bookings and help your rank in your area. So I'm not saying don't write about attractions, but definitely try to intermingle blog posts about rentals as well. If there's a major attraction in your area, then you might write a post dedicated to rentals near such and such. Or write about best condos with oceanfront balconies near so-and-so. Or write about ski in, ski out accessibility or whatever. Remember, you're trying to rank for the key style words that you want to rank for. So make sure you have a lot of content surrounding your rentals as you move forward on this. Another idea,
yeah,
I know another idea that you've done on this is the FAQs.
Right. So with FAQs, I think we can overwhelm an FAQ page. So instead of doing that, you could link from your FAQ page to a blog you wrote more about some questions and answers is a good way to do it. Also, you know, I've had restaurants say, gosh, you're coming up first instead of me for my own restaurant because you wrote about it before they did. So it's incredible in small towns how your website can come up to the number one spot just by writing about an attraction, restaurant, et cetera. The most recent thing we've been doing, Tim, and I think you do this, is asking your reservation staff and your guest experience crew or front desk, whatever you call them, and say, what are the questions you're getting over and over? You know, what do you get all day long and you wish you had a quick answer to? And they might say, let's say in our area, they say, oh, they just want to know Where do you go for lessons, ski lessons? Okay, well, instead of making your reservationist and or your guest experience give that answer over and over, writing a blog about it, first of all, you know it's going to help you with SEO if everyone's asking that. But then you can use your blog, and then that guest experience person can send the blog out for someone to read it so they don't have to remember every single detail of the answer.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, one of the largest readerships we ever had on a blog post was alternative directions to the Outer Banks. People just, and that's like the number one frequently asked question, because on Saturdays during the summertime, the road gets quite clogged. And so you put something out there that says alternative directions, people go, oh, there's another way. And so, voila.
That's a good one. And they might already be coming to, obviously, to the Outer Banks. They might have booked with somebody else. But that's one couple seconds, maybe a minute or two, where they're staring at your logo. Can't hurt.
There's a ton of them out there. I'm sure their minds are racing as they're driving down the road listening to us.
Right. They can't wait to blog tonight.
Yeah, way.
Number four, this is a little techie, so hang on. Let's see if I can explain it. Number four is tag it. I should just leave it there and you figure out what that means. So you post this blog, right? You put a picture in it. You write your 400 words. It looks great. But if you just leave it like that and you don't use what's called H1, H2, and H3 tags, and Brandon, please don't judge how I'm explaining this, then you're not going to be telling Google all it wants to know about that blog. So you're writing the blog that it's readable for the person to read. You don't want to just throw a bunch of keywords in the body of the blog. So it says Winter Park Lodging, Winter Park, ski, Winter Park Lodging, condos, nothing like that. But your H1, H2, H3 tags are a place for you to put these precious keywords. So the H1 is the header. So that's what the guest, the person is going to see. The reader will see that as your header tag. The subhead is what comes up. Like if you search for, let's say, alternate ways to go to the Outer Banks, when the search result comes up with your blog, the H1 tag is the header there. The H2 tag is the subhead. But then the H3 are hidden keywords. So my blog guy I just met with last week, he did a presentation in Steamboat. He said, these are the true ones that are hidden. And this is where you can go crazy writing Winter Park, Steamboat, whatever you're doing, lodging, rentals, condo rentals, best restaurants in Winter Park, all that kind of stuff, and get those tags in there. And that will help the Google bots know what this blog is about. Did I explain that right?
You're the techie in this group. So you tell me. I'm satisfied with your explanation. And I'm thinking about the last blog I wrote and going, oh, that's why I got that alert that I didn't do that right. So thank you for that, Sarah. So that moves us to number five. So we talked about writing it. That's half the battle. But the other half is promotion. Just because you posted a blog doesn't mean you're done working on it. So have you ever heard if you build it, they will come? No, that's not the case. Just because you write the best blog post in the world doesn't mean anybody is actually going to be able to find it. You need to spend half the time promoting it on your social channels or finding places out there on the internet like message boards or forums or wherever that you can post it, and reuse the content. Put it in an email blast or use it in emails upcoming or potential guests e-blasts from your vacation planners. You can obviously do the social media, like I said, or you can find places in your website to link your blog post you created, only if it makes sense, of course, to help gain some SEO value. So just make sure you get that out there. And then another thing along this line, I think this comes from Brandon, that if you mention a local business, by all means, put a link in there, send it to them, ask that they link it back to you. So, well, maybe not unless if you're ripping on the business, maybe you don't want to do that. But otherwise, it's a good thing to do. So, and don't feel bad about promoting the same content over and over. You can easily post the same blog to social media channel twice a month, and chances are it will hit different audiences. So remember, just because you posted a blog doesn't mean you're done working.
And Tim, this is my favorite part of blogging. It's kind of where you feel efficient. To me, you know, you write this blog, let's say you write it on the three top steak restaurants in your area. And then instead of just saying, well, there it is, it's out there. Now you have content for your next e-blast. I mean, that's exciting, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have content. Use it every place you can possibly think of. I even think owners are really impressed with this. So even in the newsletter, you might want to say, hey, read our latest one about the restaurants. And they think, God, they're doing a lot. Even that Tim guy, that owner, he's writing blogs. So I think you should get your blogs out as much as humanly possible so that it's out there on the web and people are reading it. All right. Number six, on the top 9 ways to get OTA independence with blogging is link weight. Okay, so before you leave me, don't think that's too techie. So link weight means always be thinking of ways to link to internal pages and external. So when you write a blog, let's go with the example of the 3 steak restaurants in your town, then make sure you're linking that blog to your page about restaurants, and make sure you're linking it to something else about best places to eat or do, or the top 10 spots to go, or whatever it is on your website. Interlinking is really good. And then it's okay to, and it's good to link to other websites as long as they have something to do with what you're talking about. And that's where I like then asking again, will you link to me? Because you want to get people linking to you. But linking to those pages, you're passing link weight is what it's called, and the importance to those pages, explaining to search engines they're important. So it's really good to interlink in your website.
Item number 7 is ironic that we talk about all this tech stuff, but remember that you're writing for the human reader, not the computer. It is so easy to get caught up in this whole Google thing that Sarah just went down that rabbit hole on using keyword density and use your keyword 3 times, and you have to make sure that H1 is here and H2 is there. It's very important to keep the reader in mind. The best blogs I have seen read very well. They read like a story. And so you want to keep them SEO friendly, don't get me wrong, but by the same token, you want to make sure you remember the end result, or the end. They begin with the end in mind is one of the 7 habits of highly effective people. The end result is that you want humans to read this. And so make sure you keep that in mind.
Good thing. And then Brandon also recommends adding imagery. So make sure are adding photos or charts, videos, infographics, anything like that. I mean, if you can't find it and you just get your blog out, that's fine. But it doesn't just have to be words. And you can tag those images, you can tag those graphs for Google to like it. But people do want to see imagery in your blog and not just words and words and words. All right, number 8. It's me. Okay. Number 8 is break up the content with section headers. People love to skim. So just like I said, people like to see imagery or graphs or photos and things, they also really want to skim often. They're not going to read necessarily 400 words. So be sure to do section headers, and I'll link to Tim's blog on our Facebook page. You can go check it out. So hopefully he's doing section headers.
Glad to check that quickly.
That way they can, you know, let's say again, back to my 3 steakhouses in your area, do a section header for each one, maybe a picture for each one, and they can just skim down and see what they want to read instead of a bunch of words and thousands of paragraphs there. And again, you can do these H1, H2, H3 tags in there with each one of those section headers. And Brandon says, don't just do the H1 tags, but make sure you're doing the subheaders and then getting to the H3, those hidden keywords.
Number 9 on this list is to steer away from stock photos. And this one really resonates with me, because you will find out that my blog that I write is on Mondays, and I call it Memory Monday, Sarah. And what I do on that is I post photos from my guests. I have a contest where I've asked for guests to send me the best photographic memory they have of their stay, and then I build a story around that every week. And so none of my photos are stock photos, and I literally have hundreds of photos from guests. They love to show off their stuff, that they were eating crabs at the crab shack, or they were down on the beach hunting for ghost crabs, or whatever it might be. Humanizes the thing, and people can look at those pictures and say, gosh, I could see myself there. And so I am all about number 9, steering away from stock photos, because Google doesn't like it either when you use stock photos, and you can also get in trouble if you use their photos that if they're not licensed properly. So photos are key in this process as well.
Yeah, we long ago used a stock photo, I guess, from Getty Images, and we got a scathing letter like, yeah, you will be sued forever, you know, lose everything if you don't remove this photo. So don't steal photos. That was really bad. We
especially
did that
from Getty Images. My God.
I know. What, I didn't do it. Okay. But Tim, I have a question, because sure, I love your Monday memory Mondays.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for committing to memory.
Yes. Well, whatever it's called. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. How do you get guests to send you the photos? Because we have like notes and things, like little cards in each property that says hashtag, and it tells our hashtags and share things with us. How do you get them so excited to share these photos with you?
We actually tie it into the departure survey. So we have actually a better response on photos than we have on our survey sometimes, because people may want to not want to take 5 minutes to let me know how their stay is, but they see down the bottom that they can send their photo in. And, oh, by the way, I draw a name out of the hat every month to win a discount towards their next stay. So there's a little bit of financial incentive, but they do it. And they just love to see their name. The idea that they might win $100 off a future stay is great, but I think they really want to see their photos.
Yeah, so you ask, when you say, how was your stay, and respond with your survey, you know, your review, mm-hmm. you say, please also submit your photos. That's brilliant. That's a pullover moment. I think we should all be doing that. It's such a cool idea because they just finished their vacation.
Right.
They're now not on vacation, so they don't want to spend time on their vacation sending you photos, and they're reliving it and want to send it to you.
Right.
What a great idea.
Sometimes the difficulty is which photo I'm going to use, because they send me like the whole, you know, memory card of their photos from their vacation. I'm like, I just want one. But we've had some great ones. I had one actually today as we're posting this, was a wedding photo on the beach, which was pretty cool.
Very cool. Okay, well, I'll post that on Facebook so we can all look at Tim's wonderful blog. So finishes our top nine. Let's do not so hot off the press, Tim.
But definitely happening, and it kind of ties into this whole blogging and social and whatever, and that's Facebook changes. So on January 11th, Mark Zuckerberg came out, and I think it was Robert McNamee actually wrote an op-ed in the New York Times that proposed that Facebook put their ads and businesses first. And Mark Zuckerberg really took that to heart and said, you know what, his New Year's resolution is for change. And so he did some soul searching on the negative effects created of these ads, that if you look at your Facebook feed, a lot of folks see ads first or prominently placed. And so if you've noticed over the last month or so, some of your immediate circle, whether it be family or friends, the people that you are more engaged with show up first. And so they are prioritizing the content from your friends and your family. And most people, if you look at your Facebook feed, will have seen that over the last month or so. In fact, you may even see why you're seeing this, that you are seeing this because this is your daughter, or you're seeing this because this is your friend. And so they're de-emphasizing brands and publishers, and you're going to see less of those viral videos that were eating up Facebook towards the end of the year. And you really need to focus as a business. It doesn't mean that Facebook is over for you as a business, but you really have to focus on a lot of the things we just talked about in the blog episode, and that's creating engagement with your people. You need to focus on engagement, or you will be a non-factor with Facebook from now on.
So Tim, it's something to me, just as a person that doesn't quite understand the ads and Facebook, is this just Al and my GM in Winter Park said, maybe this is just a ploy to get us to buy more Facebook ads as a business? Does this mean they're not going to be showing Facebook ads, or they're just not showing it in the feed, and therefore they're trying to get you to buy more ads?
I do not know the answer to Al's question, but I believe it to be a philosophical change, that they were chasing the dollar too much, Sarah, and so they are de-emphasizing ads altogether. And let's face it, Facebook is going through a bit of a challenge right now. The user experience is not what it used to be. Some people are putting down Facebook or swearing off of it because of all the stuff that was on there. And so they need to reinvent themselves a little bit. And I think maybe they are passing up the opportunity at more dollar revenue to re-engage with their audience. So I believe, at least I'm taking him at his word, that for you to be effective on Facebook now as a business, you need to really ramp up the whole engagement thing. And you can't just pay your way into somebody's feed. They have to have seen your stuff and like you or follow you or whatever the case might be for you to be effective any longer. And no matter how much you spend, it's really not going to help. That's what the take I got.
Got it. Well, that does feed right into what we're talking about today, is create relevant content that guests want to see. And not only Google, but Facebook might like you too.
So that'll do it. OTA independent starts with the word blog. And we had 9 points. And number one was, why the heck blog? I think we told you that. You need to set one up and you need to do it right now if you're not already doing.
Create a calendar and stick to it. Have you guys gotten inspired to do that? Let us know on our Facebook page, because if you don't create a calendar, time will go by fast and you won't be blogging.
And when you create that calendar, number three is what you should write about. Think about it in advance, and that might help you have that overcome that writer's block that you undoubtedly will have from time to time.
And then number four, tag it. Make sure you don't just post it like Tim did last week, but he needs to do H1, H2, and H3 tags and get your keywords in there.
Number five is writing is only half the battle. The other half is promotion. If you've posted a blog, it doesn't mean you're done working on it, folks.
And number six is link weight. Remember not just to link externally and ask for those links to come back to you from partners' websites, but link internally, because it gives you those pages link weight, and Google likes that.
I'm sure somebody out there understood that. Number seven is write for the human reader, not for Google. It is important to have the SEO, but make sure the end result is that you're writing to another human.
And number eight, break up the content with section headers. People have low attention spans, right? They love to skim through the words. So make sure you have section headers and don't just write 400 words in one paragraph.
Okay, I'm writing that one down. And number nine is to steer away from stock photos. Maybe do a photo contest like I've done so you can have some original content and some great photos to go along with it.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tim. That was great stuff. That was techie. Did you guys like that? Hopefully we explained it in a way that everyone got pumped up about blogging so that you can be independent of third parties and get bookings direct.
Let us know. You can get back to us on Facebook. You can check out our website at seetoski.com. You can check us out everywhere podcasts are. We ask you to rate us if you're only going to give us a good rating, of course. And then definitely email us if you have any questions that we can respond directly to. We'd love to interact with our folks out there. We mentioned some folks last episode that did that, and we look forward to doing that again. And I look forward to the next podcast, Sarah. Thanks so much.
Me too, Tim. See you soon, and have a good rest of your month.
So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers podcast. Brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management business. This week, Sarah and Tim want to give special acknowledgement to Brandon Sauls of ICND for his assistance with the content of this podcast. ICND provides innovative web solutions for vacation rental and website companies. Visit Brandon's website at iCoastalNet.com. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends and colleagues, and please feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. Comments on this podcast can be made on our Facebook or on their website, SeaToSkiWithSarahAndT.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast as well as give them feedback on this episode or give them ideas on future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.